Me to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 145, Psalms 145. I can make you a promise tonight. I promise you, I will get you out early tonight. According to that clock, that still says 6:51. Amen. I got plenty of time to preach. Amen. If it's 6:51, I need more notes. Amen. So we have a good time tonight. Thank you so much, Brother Moore, for helping and leading singing tonight. You may have thought that was Brother Burt with how good he did, and that Brother Burt was just looking a little bit younger tonight, but it was not. Amen. Do be praying for Brother Burt as well. He's still getting over this throat problem is what he told us. And he didn't have much of a voice. I don't know if Ms. Burt is praying that the voice stares away. But we are praying as people that fill in for him that it comes back very quickly. Amen. Psalm chapter number 145. We're going to read a few verses starting in verse number 3 of Psalms 145. It says in verse number 3, it says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the mighty of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. All thy words shall praise thee, O Lord. Thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, I pray you just be with us tonight as we just dive into your word. Lord, I pray you give me the words to say. Lord, I know just looking around, Lord, there's many things that you want to do in this place, God, many things that you are currently doing. Lord, I just want to stop and publicly thank you for how good you've been to us. Lord, how you've been blessing our church as of recent. Lord, I pray you just be with us. Pray you just serve us with conviction tonight. Lord, I pray if there's someone here that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we ask this all in your name. Amen. I just kind of want to start tonight. I'm going to be honest with you. I want to be an encouragement tonight. Many of you guys have called me a stranger. Brother Randy tried to give me one of the gift bags back there, tried to get me to fill out a visitor card. I have been up in Maryland for the last 2 weeks, and man, can I tell you, I love just seeing God move. Okay, I wasn't able to be there for Soul Winning Marathon, but I got to watch messages leading up to Soul Winning Marathon and watch pastor preach the week before, and I got to watch a place, and I'm not saying anything bad about that place, but I got to watch a people group that's been hurting because they've been without a pastor for a long time until they had the interim pastor, and our pastor has gone up and been being with them. But they've been looking for a long time, and it's easy to get discouraged in that. And I watch those people on two Sunday nights in a row, and on Sunday mornings, I watch people walk the aisle and were down at the altar, and they were weeping, and they were praying for God to move. Man, can I tell you, there was an encouragement in that. Man, when Pastor Parsons got there and he was preaching Sunday morning, there was 3 teenage girls. One of them walked forward and she got saved, and the 2 other teenage girls, they were under so much conviction that their friend walked forward, that they walked forward and they got saved too. Man, can I tell you, they were rejoicing about that. Man, they were rejoicing about seeing God's hand move, and they can look around and they said, man, God is so good, and they were excited. Man, I had someone come up to me and said, man, it feels like our church is ready. It feels like they're on the edge of their seat just waiting to see what God is moving. And man, I would decide it. Christian, can I tell you today? God is good. Amen. Man, and God has been working up there. But man, I got back here yesterday, and I was talking to them about everything. Everyone was asking me, hey, how's Landmark doing? Man, how's everything going at the church? Thank you for letting us borrow your pastor and sharing with us. Okay, man, and they're thankful for that. Okay, if no one tells you that, and sometimes it's easy to go, I really wish our pastor was here. I agree with you. But can I tell you, that church is very thankful. Okay, because pastor has stood in that gap, and he has done a wonderful job. He has done a job that no one else would have been able to do in that place to that people. And praise the Lord for that. And they know that, and they are very thankful to you as a church. But can I tell you, the more that I begin to talk to people there at SBT, and the more I begin to tell them what we had going on at Landmark and how we had great victory in Restore-a-thon and we had great victory and everything going on, can I tell you, church, I can talk about how God is blessing right now at Soul Winning Marathon and how everything's been good at SBT leading up and how God's been moving. Can I tell you right now, I've been at Landmark for a little bit. I went to college. I came here in 2015 and I was gone in a little bit. But I can truly say, and you can disagree with me, just don't do it publicly because you're drilling this illustration right now. I can truly say that right now we're at a good stage, okay? And it might look low because the college isn't here and a lot of people are gone right now, but we're growing. Man, people are walking the aisle. People are getting saved every week. We're having to get more people to come up to deal with people at the altar. Christian and church, can I encourage you tonight? God is good. Man, God has been working at Landmark. We've had people get baptized. Our pastor laid out a vision, and many people can look at it, and my flesh would look at it and say, Pastor Parsons, you want to see 100 get baptized? When he said that, and we can say, Pastor, that's a really big number. That's almost double we have last year. I don't know if you've been counting, okay? And I like to be a number guy. We're on track to hit that number. I mean, we're right there. Those first few weeks, one week we had 6 or 8 get baptized. They were just flooding up there. And that's not because of our pastor, but yes, his vision, but because God has been blessing this place. Christian, can I encourage you tonight that God is still on his throne? Can I encourage you tonight that we have a pastor that has a vision given of the Lord? Can I encourage you tonight that right now they're out going soul winning? Maybe not right now, they did earlier, but they don't have church tonight, so they might still be out there. They saw 83 souls get saved this week. And it's only Wednesday. Man, what an encouragement that has been. They've gone out and they've knocked 5,000 doors, and we can say, oh yeah, that's good for SBT, but do you know who's funding that? Do you know who's putting a lot into those young people who trained them, who bought vehicles and is paying for vehicles for them to go up there? That's our church. That gets added to our account. Praise the Lord for that. God has been good for us. I was talking to Brother Bentecourt the other week, and they're busting at the seam in Spanish church. They're going, they're hitting hundreds easily. They're growing. They're having to do that. On anniversary Sunday, if I understood correct, he had to set up chairs in the aisle. Can I tell you, we need to look around and we need to see that God is good. Man, Landmark, we are at a place that God is blessing and God is doing really good. And we can look around and we can be encouraged and we can say, praise the Lord. God is so good, and praise the Lord for his blessings. But sometimes as Christians, we miss that. Sometimes as Christians, we look around and we think it's more, but we want to look around and we can say, we're just busy. We're busy. Amen? Okay? There's a lot going on around this place. Okay? That's a good thing. Okay? We can look around and we can say, oh, we're too busy. We got too many things going on. The prayer list is great. There's people sick. People have been out. I want my pastor back. Why is this young guy up there just talking in the pulpit? Can I tell you, maybe in spite of that, God's been good. God has been blessing us, but many times as Christians, if we fail to get in the work and we fail to get in line with Jesus Christ, we'll miss the blessings of God. Christian, can I ask you tonight a question? Are you seeing the blessings of God? Are you seeing the blessings of God in your life? Maybe you're at a time that you're discouraged and you feel like you're saying God has been good, and we looked at those numbers, but I don't really feel like it. I don't really feel like God has been good. Can I tell you, someone that sits in the house, I feel there's some people here that would love to be at Soul Winning Marathon, and I know that. And they would have loved for you to have been there, but you weren't able to come for a reason. It's really easy to get discouraged when you're looking at from a distance, seeing what God is doing. When you're at a distance, looking at what God is doing and saying, man, I'm encouraged by them, but I'd love to be there. That might be different. But can I tell you, as a Christian, when you go to a church and you sit in a pew and you're looking down the altar, and you're looking at the bus numbers on the back, and you're looking at the Sunday school attendance, and you're saying, yeah, God's doing good. It's really easy to get discouraged if you're not in the work. It's really easy to get discouraged if you're just looking at the numbers and you're not involved in it. Christian, can I ask you tonight, do you see how good God's been? I want to look through the Bible just a little bit, and I want to title this message, if you need a title, let's get in the field. We read in Psalm chapter number 145. Turn with me over to the book of John. John chapter number 4. Can I tell you, this morning and this afternoon as I was studying after coming in late last night, and praise the Lord for the opportunity it is to just serve him and be able to do that. But man, I was thinking, Lord, why in the world would you have me preach this? Lord, this is the most working in church I know. Lord, this church does more things. We've got people that serve and we have people that do that. But can I tell you, there's sometimes that we don't serve for the right reasons. There's sometimes that we're out plowing because we've always plowed. Man, I begin to think, I was in Maryland and they have a lot of horses. They have 101 acres, and we were telling Brother Chris, and I was talking to Brother Gillian just a little bit while we were up there, and he said, are those horses over there? Yeah. And there's cows over there. Man, I remember growing up as a young man and we did something called plowing, and many of you guys know that. And I don't have to explain what that is. Pastor Parsons told me not to get up here and try to teach science, okay? That's what a wise man once said. I ain't got time to teach you science. Okay, but there's something that you do when you're going to go out and plow a field. And if you're thinking about plowing, you can think of one of them rototillers, okay, that spin, and I probably said that wrong, and it stirs up the ground and gets it ready for harvest, gets it ready to be worked. But back in the old days, they had something called a yoke, where they would take oxen or they would take horses and they'd put it on them and they would pull the plow. And they would do that. If the Webster's 1828 defines a yoke as a piece of timber, hollowed or made carving near each end, and fit it with bows for receiving the necks of oxen, by which means two are connected for drawing from a ring or a hook in the bow and a chain that extends to the thing to be drawn. Now, I did not bring a plow tonight. Okay, those things are very heavy. And I did not want to ask someone to help me. Brother Brandon is glad I did not, because I would have called on him tonight to pull a plow and do that. And I didn't want to mess up the carpet. But can you imagine a plow? Two horses get up and they get a yoke on them and it goes around their neck. And there's a chain that runs down the back of it and it connects to a thing with long handles that kind of look like this, and a plow that has an angle and it cuts in the dirt. And the horses get in there, and the horses, and many times you're going to use a whip with them, or you're just going to use voice commands if you've got a good team. And the horses are going to get up and the horses are going to plow. And as they pull that thing begins to dig in the ground. And it begins to do the yoke. It begins to do the plowing of that. But the thing the horses have to get on before they can ever be plowed, they've got to get a yoke. And the yoke goes around their shoulders and it helps them get ready to pull. And we look in John chapter number 4 and verse number 35. It says, "Say not ye, there is yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. But behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. And both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And therein is that saying true, one soweth and another one reapeth. I sent you to reap that wherein ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." Can I tell you, as we look at this, the Bible, the first verse we read, it says, "Say ye not, therefore, are yet 4 months, then come in harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest." Man, can I tell you, we're talking about harvest, and we may have been talking about plowing and yokes, but can I tell you, Haines City is ripe unto harvest. Man, we talk about the missions field, and we talked about going to a people that's not been reached for Jesus Christ. And we talk about going to people that don't have a church. And we talk about going to people that we've not gone to any before. Can I tell you, Haines City is a place full of that. They are building houses left and right. They are pulling permits as fast as the city, as fast as the government and the state will allow them. And they are slapping concrete down and they are slapping walls up. And they don't care how they look half the time, probably. And I've not looked at a new house, but I've seen horror stories and they're slapping them up. And man, they're just putting houses up so they can have houses ready. And the crazy thing about this place is places don't stay up for sale very long around here anymore. They sell quick. And someone gets in there and someone moves in. We've got U-Hauls all around this place. I was driving through Dundee today. I was going out to my mom's house. And man, there's a little gas station in the middle of nowhere. And you know what's out in the back parking lot? About 4 or 5 U-Haul trucks. And I'm thinking, what in the world has this gas station got to do with any business with U-Hauls? But I got down the street just a little bit down there towards Greenleaf, and House is going up. There's people moving in. Hey, Christian, can I tell you, in our area surrounding our church, and if you go farther, they're still building in Davenport and in Lakeland and Winter Haven and Lake Alfred. They're building. The harvest is white. Man, they are ready. Look with me over a very familiar verse in Ezekiel chapter number 22. Ezekiel chapter number 22, and you know this verse. Ezekiel chapter number 22 and verse number 30. It says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." Now this verse is talking about God's people, and it's talking about Israel and their rebellious. In their rebellious stature. But God was looking, and God was looking for a man that would bless his people, that he could use. God was looking for someone that he could use to do a work. And the sad truth is that among God's people right here, he couldn't find one. Can I tell you, there's work that God wants to do around this place. There is a work that God wants to do. You say, "Brother Tyler, we're busy. Brother Tyler, we've got enough going on. Brother Tyler, we've had buses for years, and how are we going to keep growing? Is Haines City still growing? Is traffic on Henson getting worse? Amen. Is 27 getting worse? We came in last night, and it was 8:30, 9 o'clock, and it probably took me almost 30 minutes to get from Posner to Publix up here. It's crazy. This place is growing. And I ought not drive that way anymore because I was getting frustrated because we were going so slow. But this place is growing. There's people coming. So should we be growing? Should we be going out? Can I tell you, I've had the opportunity to talk to the pastor, and I've been able to talk to some people around here. We've got area around here that we could split up some bus routes. We've got area around here that people are driving 30 minutes in their bus route. If you were to look at the width, it's 30 minutes between one stop to another stop. We could split that and we could be a little bit more effective. But we don't have the people to do it right now. We don't have the workers to say, hey, pastor, I'm ready. Hey, God, you're looking for a man that's willing to be a bus captain? I'm ready. Can I just tell you, we've got good men in our church that are serving, and I'm not getting after people. But it's hard to find a man that's willing to be a bus captain around here. It's hard to find a man that's willing to stand in the gap. Yeah, I've been a bus captain before, and if in the Lord's timing, I would love to do it again. Okay, and right now, pastor has me doing some other stuff, and that's okay. But can I tell you, bus ministry is hard. You love on kids, and you never see them again. They tell you you're coming, and you get excited, and you go home, and you tell your wife, and hopefully your wife's with you, so you ain't got to tell her. But you go home, and you tell someone, man, we're excited. We're going to go knock this door in the morning. These people are going to come to church, and you show up in the morning, and you get off the bus, and you run into the door, and you're so excited to see those kids you talk to, and you knock. And you knock. And you knock, and you're saying, where are these kids? I knew I should have got a phone number to wake them up. And they don't come. And it's discouraging. Can I tell you, that work is still there. And God still wants to do that. Can I tell you, we've got Sunday school classes that are growing. We've got Sunday school classes that there's 20 kids in a class. That we could split that class, and that's a good thing. But we could split that class, and we've had some ladies or some men that would say, you know what, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to get in the yoke. Can I just tell you, and I don't mean this to be direct, and I'm not being mean by saying this, I don't think a church our size on Sunday morning and Wednesday night should ever have a lack of workers. Church, can I challenge you with something? What if the college students weren't here anymore? What if the college students, we just didn't have a college for whatever reason, and I never want it to be that way, and I don't think it will ever be that way. But what if we didn't have this section up here and that section over there to be workers? Who would hold up that man of God? Who would fill in the Sunday school classes? Hey, Christian, can I tell you, it's about time some of us put the yoke on. It's about some time some of us said, you know what? God's looking for a man to stand in the gap, and I'm willing to do that. A Christian should be reinvesting what was invested in him. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 13 says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Christian, can I tell you, I know in me, and I don't know about in you, but there was a lot invested in me. There was a lot of people that had the love on me and take time for me to get to where I am now, and I'm nowhere near where I should be. That was invested in me. I have a burden to give that out and to serve other people. Hey, Christian, if you've been invested in and someone is invested in your life, you ought to have a burden to give that out to other people. Hey, Christian, it's about time that some of us, we yoke up. That we say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to put that yoke on and I'm going to start serving. Look with me over in the book of Colossians chapter number 3. When we're talking about horses, the term they use for going forward is not walking, it's not running. They use that term, they call it pulling. They call it pulling because they're pulling the plow behind them. They're pulling the work behind them. Christian, can I encourage you tonight? Can I remind you tonight who we're pulling for? If we ran bus routes and we ran all those bus routes all around here and we played for all the fuel just to make our pastor happy, we're doing it for the wrong reasons. If we're doing it just because we enjoy doing it, you're crazy. Okay? If you get here at 7 o'clock, if you think Brother Wiebe gets here at 7 o'clock and starts all the buses and checks the oil and says, this person really didn't sweep their bus because he just loves doing it, and he does because I know Brother Wiebe. he wouldn't be doing it for the right reasons. Christian, can I remind you tonight that we're serving for him? Hey, Christian, you want to see God's blessing? You want to look around and you want to see, man, God is blessing what I do. God is blessing my ministry. Make sure you're pulling for him. In Colossians chapter number 3, and we're going to read a few verses here. Chapter number 3 and verse number 1, it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth." Christian, can I remind you, if we're pulling for him, our desire has to line up with his. The Bible says right there, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. It says in the beginning of verse number 1, it says, seek those things which are above. Hey, Christian, when we're pulling for God, we have desire to get in the yoke and to pull for him. Our desires have to be his desires. Our desires have to line up with his. Look in the same chapter. Look down in verse number 17 of Colossians chapter number 3. It says in verse number 17, it says, "And whatsoever ye do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Hey, Christian, our recognition, it needs to be in him. Man, when we're going out and we're serving and we look back and we can say, man, I had the highest bus route. Man, I beat Brother James and my bus was higher than them. And you can laugh about that. But when I was the bus captain, if you beat Brother James, you were doing a good thing. Okay, and we laugh about that. But Brother James does a good job because of who he's serving. But man, our recognition, when we look around and we all to go around and we all to say, praise the Lord. Look what God used me to do, not what I did. But look at what God used me to do. Christian, if we're pulling for him, he needs to get that recognition. Look with me down in verse number 23 right here of Colossians chapter number 3. It says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord," it says, "knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ." Not only does our desire need to line up with his, not only does our recognition need to line up with him, but our reasoning and why we serve, they need to line up with him. Our reasoning why we go out on bus route, our reasoning why we serve in Sunday school, our reasoning why we usher, our reasoning why we sing in the choir, our reason why we play instruments and do everything that I did not just mention, it needs to be for the cause of Christ. Can I tell you why we do this whole mess here? And you might say, Brother Tyler, I'm offended that you called it a mess. Sometimes it can get messy. Okay, there's moving parts, and I don't even mean that as an insult. Messy is a good thing. It's working. It's for the cause of Christ. The reason why our pastor is traveling every week is for the cause of Christ. Hey, Christian, if we're pulling for him, we've got to make sure our reason that we're pulling, the reason why we're in the yoke, is for him. Turn with me over to the book of Philippians. We're close there in Colossians. Turn back a book in the book of Philippians. Look with me down in verse number 2, or chapter number 2. Look with me down in verse number 13. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 13. It says in Philippians 2, verse number 13, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Christian, can I tell you, not only are we pulling for him, can I remind you that we're pulling with him? There are some people, when they plow with horses, they plow with one horse. Now, if that horse gets tired, your plow is stopping. But I remember as a young man, as I was learning to plow, we had a horse named Big Boy, okay? And you would think that he was the big boy, but he wasn't the big one, okay? The big horse's name was Samson. And Samson always went on the right side because the right side was the strong side. And Big Boy would pull, and Big Boy would pull his share of the load. But Samson, man, when Samson dug in and when Pastor Drew hit Samson and he told Samson to get up and go, Samson was pulling about 80% of that load. Big Boy was pulling and he was keeping up and he was keeping pace and he was pulling. He was working. He was doing it. But man, on that right side, Samson right there, man, he was pulling. Hey, Christian, can I remind you, as we work for Jesus Christ, there is times that it gets hard. And I am not making little of anything that we do for Jesus Christ, because God doesn't do that himself. But we need to remember that we're pulling with him. In Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 29 and 30, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Christian, can I remind you that when we're pulling, when we're serving, we're not doing it alone. As they go out and knock doors this week, they're not knocking doors alone. Yeah, they have a partner, but they have a God that goes before him. As you go out and you start your bus on Sunday morning, you're not doing it alone. As you go out and you might knock doors, you're not doing it alone. Can I tell you, God goes before you? And to be honest with you, God does most of the work. He's prepared. He's already plowed this row. He's already got the row ready to go. He's done work before you ever showed up. And you just got to show up. And you've got to work it. I'm not saying it's easy. But we got to realize that we're pulling with him. Can I tell you, God goes with us and before us. I begin to think of Moses. Moses in Exodus chapter number 4, and we're not going to turn there. Moses is just one of my favorite Bible stories to just study and just dig in. I just enjoy him and digging in David's life. But in Exodus chapter number 4, you know what Moses was doing? Moses had, in Exodus chapter number 3, Moses had decided that he was willing to serve God. And Moses said, all right, God, I'm willing to do it. What do you need me to do? In chapter number 4, you know what happened? Moses starts saying, all right, God, I was willing to serve you, but I don't know if I can do that. Lord, I don't know if I can get up and I can't speak. Maybe you should use Aaron and maybe you should do that. How many times as Christians do we realize that we're serving the Lord? We realize that he's going to be serving with us, but we limit what God can do with us. And the only thing Moses did right there was get in God's way. How many times as Christians when God says, all right, let's do this. I've got a vision, I have a burden, I have something I want to set out before you, let's serve. And we say, all right, God, oh, that's what you want to do? I don't know about that. I don't know if that's for me. God, don't you know what I'm already doing around this place? God, don't you already know where I've served for so long? Don't you know in my local church what I already do, God? Why would you tell me to do something else? Don't you understand my circumstances? Yeah. You think God didn't know who Moses was? Do you think God hadn't been illustrating and orchestrating Moses' life the whole time? And yet Moses doubted God right there and said, God, I don't know if I can do this. Hey, Christian, can I remind you that God pulls with us? And he's leading us. Okay, God's not calling you to be able. God's calling you to be willing. Hey, Christian, can I encourage you? Don't forget that we're pulling with him. Turn with me over to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 16. And I will hasten. Proverbs chapter number 16. In Proverbs chapter number 16, we're going to read verse number 1 and verse number 3. It says, The preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is of the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy words unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9, it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Christian, can I remind you that God is the one that manages the harvest? God is the one who does the harvest. Psalms chapter number 27 and verse number 14, it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Hey, Christian, do you know what God calls us to do? If we look at the Great Commission, God says, go. He tells us to teach. He tells us to preach. He tells us to baptize and to go out to all those people. Does God tell us to save people? Does God tell us to go out on our bus route and drag people out to the bus? And sometimes we might have to do that, and I'm not going to touch on that tonight. I had to be drug out to the bus, so I'm not going to complain about that. It was probably good, and I'm glad someone did. Okay, Brandon, don't literally drag people. I see your face. Don't do it. All right? But Christian, can I remind you tonight, not only are we pulling for him, not only are we pulling with him, but we're not in charge of the harvest. We're not in charge of the soul that gets saved. Can I tell you, there's many of Christians that go out and they've knocked on the door and they've witnessed to someone and they were on the edge of their seat and they were standing there and they had their Bible open. They thought that person was going to get saved and they seemed so ready and the pump seemed primed and they were ready to make a decision. And then they go, oh yeah, I already did that. That's really frustrating. It can be discouraging. But in that same situation, you did exactly what God sent you there to do. Christian, you say, I've been serving God and I've been doing it and I've been faithful and I don't see any growth. I don't see anyone getting saved. I've gone to fishers of men and I've been knocking doors and I've not seen anyone get saved. Maybe you started going to Foster's Club and you've gone out and you've not seen anyone get saved. And you look around and you say, it's not working. Why am I wasting my time? If God was to give you a grade, He'd slap an A on there and said, I didn't call you to save people. I didn't call you to go out and make people get saved. That's what He does. He just called us to go. Christian, can I remind you? God is faithful to do the work that we can't see. The work that we can't do, God is faithful to do that. Man, can I tell you, we talk about Jesus all the time. We talk about God and they're all three the same person. But man, the Holy Spirit. Man, sometimes we underestimate Him. Sometimes He does not get, we don't look at that and say, man, praise God for the Holy Spirit. But man, when we go out and we knock on the door and we plant a seed, the Holy Spirit comes in and He's convicted. And He's convicting and He's telling that person that they need to get saved and He's beckoning to them. And as a Christian, He's beckoning to us and convicting us of things. Hey, Christian, can I tell you, even when you leave a door, God is still working. When you witness to that coworker at church or witness to that coworker at work, if you work at the church, you can still witness to your coworkers. Some of them might need it. Okay. But at your workplace, you witness to someone and they don't get saved, the work's not done. The Holy Spirit's still working. Hey, Christian, can I remind you? We're pulling with Him, but He's the one harvesting. There's sometimes we get to see the harvest and we get to see the work that God has done and we get to pick that fruit, but God is the one working on the inside. Turn with me over to the book of Philippians. We were right there. I should have told you to mark it. Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 2. The sad truth is I really do think this next point is plagued our independent Baptist churches a lot of time. Man, we look at it, and I was talking about it when we were in Maryland. We were talking about the heydays of independent Baptists, where you could go out on a bus ride and you could literally drag a kid to the bus, and the mom and dad would say, you get them, they need Jesus. And they were excited, and you could go out and you could do all types of crazy things, and kids desired to come to church, and families desired to come to church, and that is a good thing, and praise the Lord for those days. But Christian, can I remind you, I am a young man of God, and praise the Lord that I have the opportunity to even use that, and I am not worthy to say that. But I'm young and serving God, but I wouldn't be serving God if I thought those days were behind us. I wouldn't be serving God if I thought God couldn't still move in this day. Christian, can I tell you, God still desires to move. God is still doing work. It says in Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 13, it says, I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter number 3, we just read this in verse number 12. We read 13 first. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye also obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 25. And this is a familiar verse, but I want to take the end of it. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Hey church, can I tell you something that has been well preached in this place? God is right around the corner. There is nothing standing in the way of that trumpet. Jesus could come back today and we would say, praise the Lord. We can see Him approaching. But the Bible says so much the more as we see the day approaching. So Christian, what should we be doing? More. But the sad truth is many of our independent Baptist churches, they've stopped plowing the field. Many of our people that have served, and they've served a long time, and they've served faithfully, and they could still serve in different capacities, even if it wasn't the same. They've gone in the barn, and they've got a drink, and they stayed cooped up in the barn. Can I tell you, we had some horses when we were out plowing that if you unhooked them from the yoke and you took them in there to get a drink, you weren't ever getting those horses back out. Taking a rest is not a bad thing. Taking time to get a drink is not a bad thing when things go on. But staying in the barn when there's work to do, that ain't good. Can I tell you the sad truth is, many Christians, we've served and we looked around and we said, God, I've put in my time. Lord, I've put in my service. Lord, I'm done. And now I'm going to watch these young people do it. And I'm going to watch these people are doing it. I was doing something for a while, but now I'm not doing it because someone else is doing it. And I'm going to watch them do it. Christian, can I tell you, it's okay for you to get a drink, but don't you get shut up in the barn. In Galatians chapter number 6, it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Christian, can I ask you today, has there come a time in your life that you said, Lord, I used to serve you. Lord, I used to be on fire and I used to be plugged in. And God, I might not be able to do what I used to do, so I'm just not going to do it anymore. Christian, can I encourage you today, put the yoke back on. I thought about this. The college is coming back. They'll be back on Tuesday and they might have spring break. But man, those college students are going to come in the door and they're going to come up to you and they're going to say, brother or Mrs. So-and-so, guess how many souls I led to the Lord. And we're going to have the college students up here and they're going to stand behind the podium and they're going to give a testimony of soul winning marathon. And they're going to say, it was cold and we had a good time, but I got to see so many people get saved. And as a church, we can say, amen, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, and we can catch fire with them. But why does it take that to catch fire? Why does it take them coming back from soul winning marathon and seeing souls get saved to get on fire like them? Because we've seen souls get saved here. We've seen people walk down the aisle. We've seen the baptismal waters flowing. I checked tonight and there's not much staff here, and had a young man stick his hand in there to make sure the water was in there. Because God will do it. We've seen baptisms on Wednesday nights recently. Church, can I ask you, why does it take somebody standing down there behind a podium to see what God did in a far off place for us to get on fire for Him? When we can look around and we can say, God, I've got something to be on fire for. And if you don't, it's probably because you're not in the yoke. Church, I'm not trying to be hard tonight, but I want to make sure we're getting this. Don't miss out on the blessings of God because you're not in the work of God. Because you're in the work of God, but you're not doing it for the right reasons. Don't miss out on the blessings of God because you've been pulling the way you wanted to pull instead of the way He wanted you to pull. Church, I want to encourage you tonight, but I also want to challenge you at the same time. God is good and God has been moving in this place, and it's because of your work. It's because of your faithfulness. But I don't ever want that to stop. I don't ever want there to be a time that we can say, oh yeah, God was growing, but we kind of got busy and we hit a bump and not like that anymore. Yeah, but you know what it's going to take? It's going to take some people getting in the yoke. It's going to take some people standing and saying, you know what, God? I might not be able to do everything I used to do. God, I might not be able to do what He's doing or what she's doing, but Lord, I can do this and I'm willing to do it. Christian, can I ask you tonight? God is looking for someone to stand in a gap. I don't know what gap that is, but God is looking for you to serve. Christian, maybe tonight's the night that we need to get out in the field. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we're going to stand to our feet. Christian, God is blessing. Can you see it? God has been using our church in a mighty way, and God's been using you in a mighty way. Hey, Christian, we can look at that and we can be encouraged because of that. Or we can sit in the barn and we can say, man, I remember when I used to do that. Can I encourage you tonight to get in the yoke, to get out of the barn? Maybe you're in here tonight and you say, Brother Tyler, you're talking about God moving. And you know what? I've never seen that. I've never seen God move like that. Maybe it's because you never looked at His Son. Maybe it's because you never accepted Him as your personal Lord and Savior. All this crazy mess that we do on sending our college students and most of our staff halfway across the country is for the cause of Christ. It's because there's a man named Jesus that died on a cross for you. You say, Brother Tyler, those people up in Maryland have to be important. No, you're important. Know that person in this auditorium is important that's never accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Can I tell you, that's the most important decision you could ever make. Before you can get in the field, you can get out serving, you got to get in the family. And maybe tonight's the night's for that. The invitation is open. Christian, maybe God's put a burden on your heart to get in the field. Maybe you just need to pray that you'll stay pulling with Him. Maybe you've never been saved. I'm going to stand down front here. I'd love to take a Bible. I'd love to have one of these people take a Bible and can show you how you can know for sure heaven's your home. The instrument's going to play. Brother Moore's going to sing. You do business with God as God does business with you.